House tonight. I guess I'll use this one. Be all right. But I'm glad to be here. I did enjoy that. I enjoyed that that video. We had looked that song up the other day, accidentally, by another group. We were looking for a song and found that, and it sparked a thought in me. And I've been studying on the gates of heaven. So Lord willing, we'll be able to get into that here in the future, but I like that song. And I really enjoyed getting to see my daughter and my son tonight. And I'll tell you, I can remember a time when I used to think, I'd like to have a singing group. Just got a problem, I can't sing. Now, I want to tell you, it's a whole lot easier to do that with a guitar than with drums. And I might have told you this story. My son got to hankering for a guitar, and he had this big set of drums that somebody gave him. Just ruins the den, you know. And I don't care what you play, it don't sound good. And he decided he wanted a guitar, and he said, we might could trade these drums. When he said yes, I found a way to get them in that Xterra. And I drove around all over the place, went to 7 pawn shops, till I found a place that would trade drums for a guitar. And I came home with a little guitar and an amp, and I was so happy. But I want to tell you, that boy plays that guitar every day. And we praise the Lord for that. Well, I want to talk to you tonight. I want to talk about the city of refuge, but I want to talk in particular about standing in the congregation. Because there's something in the scripture about standing in the congregation. And I want you to see it. This just seems to be what stuck out in my heart. But there's 3 different places we want to read. Numbers chapter 35, Deuteronomy chapter number 4, and Joshua chapter number 20. And it's a fair amount of reading, and I'll just try to read some of it to you. But, you know, the scripture talks about there were laws in the book of Numbers concerning the city of refuge. Then you go over to the book of Deuteronomy, and you find where Moses severed 3 cities for cities of refuge. And then after Moses, Joshua did the same thing. But I want to look at what the law says and what these are. Now, I'll tell you, this thought, this name, this title is on my heart. Because prior to coming to serve with you here at Hiram First Baptist Church, I went to see a friend of mine, and I was actually talking about starting a church. And the only name that I could ever come up with is City of Refuge. You know, and now there's a couple of City of Refuges around here, but that thought and that name was in my heart and my mind. I'll tell you why. Because the church needs to be a refuge where people can come. You know, it's not a place where all the good people get together and the bad people are on the outside. We'll talk about that in just a minute. That's why I want to talk about standing in the congregation. And then when we get into that, you'll see exactly what's on my heart. But in Numbers chapter number 35, beginning in verse number 9, this is the laws concerning murder. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye be come over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then ye shall appoint you cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the slayer may flee thither, which killeth any person at unawares." That means a person who murders someone accidentally could flee into these cities. It says, "And they shall be unto you cities for refuge from the avenger, that the manslayer die not until he stand before the congregation in judgment." I want you to pay particular attention and think about that congregation. It says, "And of these cities which ye shall give, 6 cities shall ye have for a refuge. 3 cities on this side Jordan, and 3 cities shall ye give in the land of Canaan, which shall be cities of refuge. These 6 cities shall be a refuge both for the children of Israel, and for the stranger, and for the sojourner among them, that everyone that killeth any person unawares or accidentally may flee thither. And if he smite him with an instrument of iron so that he die, he is a murderer, and the murderer shall surely be put to death. If he smite him with throwing a stone wherewith he die, and he die, he is a murderer, and the murderer shall be put to death. Or if he smite him with a hand weapon of wood wherein he die, and he die, he is a murderer, and the murderer shall surely be put to death. And the avenger of blood himself shall slay the murderer when he meeteth him, he shall slay him. But if he thrust him of hatred or hurl at him by laying of weight, that he die. Or in enmity smite him with his hand, that he die. That he smote him shall surely be put to death. For he is a murderer, and the avenger of blood shall slay the murderer when he meeteth him." Now what the cities were for is if someone accidentally took someone's life, they could flee to this city. Or let's just say if you were to be in a situation to where maybe tempers flare. You know, I heard a story of a man who gave his testimony at a Celebrate Recovery meeting it was at Legacy. And he said that he was separated from his wife and he had some trouble, obviously, in their home. And you know how brothers are. He said, "I ended up getting into it with her brother. and I hit her brother. And he said, evidently, it was a very serious lick. He said, because 2 weeks later, her brother died. And he stood up and he gave his testimony. And here's what his testimony was about. His testimony was about the healing and the recovering power of God. And when he began to give his testimony, you know, the first thing we think, how do you recover? Now, folks, I'm going to tell you, God is in the recovery business. Okay? But it was an accident. He didn't mean to do it. But this is a man that would have needed this city. Now, I will tell you this, and I'm going to move on because you're wondering. This man was restored to his wife. This man was restored to her family. You say, well, how can that happen? I'll tell you exactly how it happened. It's the grace of God. God's grace is greater than anything that you experienced in your life. It's just sometimes you have to grab a hold to it and really, really hold on. In the 22nd verse, it says, but if he thrust him suddenly without enmity or have cast upon him anything without laying of weight or of any stone wherewith a man may die, seeing him not, and cast it upon him, and he died, and was not in his enemy, neither sought his harm. Look at the 24th verse. It says, then the congregation shall judge between the slayer and the avenger of blood according to these judgments. And the congregation shall deliver the slayer out of the hand of the avenger of blood, and the congregation shall restore him to the city of his refuge, whither he was fled. And he shall abide in it until the end of the death of the high priest, which was anointed with the holy oil. But if the slayer shall at any time come without the border of the city of his refuge, whither he was fled, and the avenger of blood find him without the borders of the city of refuge, and the avenger of blood kill the slayer, he shall not be guilty of blood. Look at the 8th verse. Says, because he should have remained in the city of refuge until the death of the high priest. After the death of the high priest, the slayer shall return into the land of his possession. I want to go over to Deuteronomy. I want to read two verses. And I just want you to see in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 41 and verse number 42, that when Moses came out, and we see the law was given in Numbers, when he came out, he actually did this. It says, then Moses severed three cities on this side Jordan toward the sun rising, that the slayer might flee thither, which should kill his neighbor unawares and hated him not in times past, and that fleeing unto one of these cities, he might live. Now let's go over to Joshua chapter number 20. And I want to read just a few verses beginning in verse number 9. And I like the way that this is written in the book of Joshua. Now, I've read you some scripture, but I want to give you some background. I want to give you something that, hey, this was written down as laws. And it was written to protect. But it was written pretty particular that if you wanted to be saved, you had to go into this city and you had to stay. If we go to Joshua chapter 20, beginning in verse number 1, it says, and the Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither and shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he doth flee unto one of these cities, shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city. And they shall take him into the city unto them and give him a place that he may dwell among them. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly or unintentionally and hated him not before time. And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return and come into his own city and into his own house and to the city from which he fled. And they appointed Kadesh in Galilee and Mount Naphtali and Shechem and to Mount Ephraim and Kirjath Arba, which is in Hebron, and the Mount of Judah. And on the other side of Jordan by Jericho eastward, they assigned Bezer in the wilderness upon the plain out of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth and Gilead out of the tribe of Gad, and Golan and Bashan out of the tribe of Manasseh. And I read those verses to read number 9. says, these were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel and for the stranger that sojourneth among them. That whosoever killeth any person unawares might flee thither and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood until he stood before the congregation. Now, I want to tell you, I believe that we all need a city of refuge. Now, when I look at this and I begin to look at it, obviously I want to look at it from a doctrinal standpoint, what it means, but this was a place, the city of refuge was a place for anyone who had made a mistake in passion or emotion. Now, I think we all have passion and emotion. And we all have to be careful because sometimes people, when they act in passion or emotion, they do things that can affect the rest of their life. And I try to be conscious of that myself. And you say, well, I don't have a temper. We all got one. Some of us have a shorter fuse than others. I got one. I really have a temper. But I want to tell you, I try to keep it pushed as deep as I can possibly keep it pushed. And when it does rise up, I don't like it. It makes me feel very uncomfortable. It actually seems like it drains every bit of the strength out of my body. But when we look at this scripture, it was a place for somebody who had made a mistake, sometimes in passion or in emotion, or even not even willing, intentionally doing the harm that they've done to somebody else. But as I mentioned a minute ago about the man who gave his testimony, in a time of passion, killed his brother-in-law. And as he stands and he gives the testimony, he talks about the restoring power and grace of God. But how many times have we said or done something that we wish in that moment of emotion we could reach out and get it and pull it back? I can remember one time, and I hate to even tell you this story, but I want to tell you a little bit about the grace of God. I was teaching a Sunday school class, and to be honest with you, I shouldn't have been teaching it by myself. I was about 16 years old. And I was downstairs in the church, and my friends were in there. I have a sister who's 22 months younger than me, and she was in there. And my best friend, he's about my age, he's in there. And he has a sister that's my sister's age, and she was in there. And it wasn't but about six of us. And we did not have an adult in the class. And we got in there, and we got through with our short lesson, and like brothers and sisters do, and that's exactly what we all were, we got to picking at each other. Now, I don't know about y'all when y'all was growing up, but if my sister picked at me, I had to win. I picked back, and I picked a little harder, and I picked a little more, and you know how it is. The words cut deeper and deeper. You know, it's like when she would get ready for a date, and I'd go in and look in the bathroom. You're not going like that, are you? It just become a way of life. Well, we were down here in the Sunday school room, and we got to picking back and forth, and this little girl, my best friend's sister, was like a sister to me. And she said something that cut me, and I said, well, I can't let her get away with that. And it just went on until finally I won. You know what I mean by winning? She got up, brokenhearted, and run out of the room. And standing outside of the room was her mother, who is someone today is very, very dear to me in my life. And her mother was standing outside the room, and she tried to catch her daughter. And her daughter had tears going down, and the mother had tears going down. And I want you to know it. To this day, I was 16 years old. I wish I could go back and withdraw those words. And that's not the only time in my life. And I did apologize, and we did reconcile, and we grew up together, and we're friends. But I want you to know, it hurt me. Because when I look back on it and I realize it, sometimes what we need to do is recognize ourselves. Number one, not to get into this position. This man may have made a wrong decision, a rash decision in anger. But he's not a whole lot different than us. You know, the truth is, none of us are a whole lot different from the others. We got screens behind us, and I want you to know, folks, there's no way I'd want the worst things of my life flashed up there. And neither would you. Because the reason you wouldn't is there's some things that only God can handle. You see, we all have a past. And number one, the city was a place for those who had a past. I want you to see number two. The city was a place of grace. Because when a person came to the city of refuge and they come toward that city, they need that grace. Because as they're heading toward that city, They're looking behind them to see how close the avenger of blood is. Because according to the laws, and I know we're not going to understand everything about the laws. We're not going to understand everything about the Word of God until we get to the Lord, and maybe He'll help us understand it. But what the law said is they were guilty of death. And one who takes a life, his life will be taken. You see, capital punishment is in the Bible. And as they flee into the city, when they walk into the gates of that city and it's shut behind them, it's like the grace of God covering them. Now, it wasn't completely over because something had to take place that I really want to talk about in just a minute. But it was a place that they needed grace. And when people come into this church, they need grace. They need God's grace. They need mercy. They need God to be able to, you know, to help them with whatever they've done in their life. But when they come inside the city, what I want you to see is they were judged by the congregation. We said that, we read that several times, that they came in and they could stay until the congregation judged them and looked at them. And as I began to think about that, and it really began to be in my heart and my mind, I thought about, well, who were the congregation? Have you ever thought about that? I'll tell you who it was. It was other people who had fled from the avenger of blood. See, it wasn't this great big church full of godly, holy people that were just there to welcome folks and see who's going to get to come in, but it was others just like them. It was people who had fled from the avenger of blood, who had in an accidental moment or age of passion or time of trouble done something that caused them to have to flee there. You see, because it's not a place that I think everybody would have really wanted to live. But it's a place that they went to because it was a place that they could live. Now, I want you to think about the people in the congregation. Could you imagine someone coming in that's guilty and whatever they've done, standing in the congregation? And you look at the guilty person, maybe this would go through your mind. I remember what it was like when I was found guilty. Would that be going through your mind? Looking at that person, remembering yourself and what you did? Would you possibly think, I remember what it was like when I was fleeing from the avenger of blood? And you're looking at that person. See, you begin to see if you're standing in the congregation, it ought to be building compassion. Would you say, I remember what it was like to stand before the congregation and be judged myself? Could you imagine the apprehension and the concern as you come into this city, a city that God's law provided, that Moses wrote about, that Moses designed, that Joshua had set up as God had commanded, not knowing how the people were going to respond to you? Could you say, I remember, and you would want to be able to say this, what it was like to stand before the congregation and be forgiven? Do you know that there are people here and there are people today that still are looking for that? They want to come into the congregation and just be forgiven. And when I look at this congregation, no doubt, and I want us to understand where we come from. There go I, but for the grace of God. And then if you're forgiven and you're in the congregation and you've got that place, what did it do to you? Could you even think about the first person that came through the gates of the city after you? The first person that comes through after you and you realize what you felt like and you're looking at them and you know they're feeling all the same emotion and the guilt and the shame and the fear of the avenger of blood following them. The compassion that you'd feel toward them. But you see, according to this law, they had to remain into the city until the death of the high priest. And that could have been a long time. It could have been a short period of time. It's kind of like us praying that we would get some Supreme Court justice to have some convictions. When they're elected for life. But could you imagine standing there and knowing that, you know, you were that person and you were forgiven? Maybe the first person, you'd be real merciful. But how long would it take till you get hardened? Your passion begins to fade? It's kind of like a person that's been saved all their life. You know, I got saved when I was 12. Now, here's the concern. This is the concern you have about a pastor that's full-time, that, you know, don't work like you do. I work like, you know, I work like y'all do. I work a lot of hours, okay? But I want to tell you, I've been in church, and the pastor would get up and preach, and I know good and well, he's not relating to these people. He's not relating to them because he's putting demands on them that are greater than they can bear. And he doesn't know what it's like to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and get 4 kids ready for school and iron and get to lunches and take them to school and drive out and work the hours and fight the traffic and come in. How long does it take until you forget where you come from? How long did you have to stand in the congregation till you lost touch with that mercy and that guilt and the avenger of blood chasing you? Now, I'm just telling you what God showed me in this. I mean, this stuff began to build in my heart and my mind. And I think, here's the point. You don't have to go out and dwell in the wilderness to appreciate the blessings of God. Amen. I one time heard a man say, well, he said, I think everybody, and he began to name off these different sins. Everybody ought to do this, and everybody ought to go through that. What everybody ought to do is recognize, but for the grace of God, that's me. And if God's been merciful to you and loving to you, you ought to understand from his word what he expects from you. And not forget. See, what type of person made up the congregation? Number one, it was a guilty person. They wouldn't have been there if they weren't guilty. But they were guilty. Number two, it was a pardoned person. It was a person that had been shown tremendous mercy. Now, here's what I think they should have been. I think it should have been a grateful person. Are you grateful for the grace of God? I am, and I'll say this. I'm so grateful that God has not left me to myself. It's almost like having a stubborn child, and the parents look at them and they say, I'm just tired of dealing with them. You know, if they want to burn their hand, I heard a man say this one time. We was talking about keeping kids away from the stove. He said, well, they won't grab that hot eye but one time. And I thought, I don't want my kids to grab it. That's why you go and you stand between them and you chase them. And, you know, even now they got these kid leashes. I won't tell you, if I had another, I'd have to have one, okay? I couldn't chase them anymore. But I'm so grateful, and I say that to say this, that God did not let my stubbornness cause him to say, I'm going to quit working with that boy. I'm going to quit trying to work in his life. You know, and you know, God's got a plan for you. God's got a plan for every person in this building. And I'm grateful that God did not give up on me. You see, a person that's in the congregation ought to be a forgiven person. Well, it was just a few weeks ago that God let me preach on mercy. The scripture says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You know, I mentioned this morning about the Lord rebuking the devourer and God's hand being in your life. And folks, I want that. But I want to tell you something else. I want God's mercy. If I got what I deserved for what I've done in this life, I wouldn't be standing here today. And I know I got saved. Well, he got saved when he was 12. I've not been perfect. I've been guilty. I've been contrary. I've been stubborn. But God's been forgiving. God's been merciful and God's been good to me. You know what that ought to build in us? It ought to build a humble person. Who are we to lift ourselves up? Who am I to say I'm better than anybody? but for the grace of God. So a person standing in the congregation, they ought to have humbleness in their life. And it ought to give them some understanding. See, sometimes the trouble we have, and this is what we have if we've grown up in church, you know, you get saved at 12, I don't smoke, I don't chew, I don't run with those that do, and all that kind of stuff. You know, folks, I want to tell you something. And I just tell you this for the glory of God. I've never had any drugs in my body other than the ones the doctor prescribed. And when I had surgery, I didn't like that Darvocet. I took one and sat there and sweated taking Tylenol the rest of the time because I didn't like it. I've not had a problem with drugs. I've never been drunk. I've never smoked a cigarette. Folks, listen. Does that mean that you don't have understanding? You see, as a lot of people have done all that. And what do? They still judge everybody around them. Here's an example of what it means if you judge everybody around you. It just means you're trying to hide what the problems are in your life. And you're hiding the problems in your life by trying to find somebody around you that's done something that you think is worse. But the Bible clearly teaches us, and I had this conversation with Matthew the other day because he had somebody trying to tell him this sin, that sin. I said, well, son, let me show you what the Word says. The Bible clearly teaches if you're guilty of one, you're guilty of them all. Because the problem we have is we take our righteousness and our holiness and we compare it to somebody else to get the guilt off of our back and make us right before God, when in truth, one sin, one, God can't look on. So it ought to be an humble person. It ought to be an understanding person. And here's where I think we need to be. And this is where I think this church needs to be. It ought to be an outreaching person. You know, I could just imagine as people come into the gates of the city. And this is the way it is in church. I've seen this before. Some people see them come in. And they see the hurt in their lives. And they see the trouble. And you know what they do? They go to them. They see them and say, I know where you're at. I've been where you've been. I've experienced what you've experienced, but I want to tell you that God has a plan. I want to tell you that there's hope. I want to tell you that God's mercy is sufficient. God's grace is sufficient. And you know, sometimes it's even like this. I know you can't see it right now, but it's going to get better. It's an outreaching person. And I know this church has great outreaching ministries, and I'm honestly just sharing with you what God's given me. But can you see this in the congregation? Could you imagine a person coming into the city, standing before the congregation, and then looking out? You know, if you look at this scripture, and it said it was a place that they needed to remain in. You see, because if you were guilty and you came into the city, you had to stay in the city. And I wish sometimes people would understand that in their lives, in their relationship with God. They come in and they experience mercy and they experience grace. Then they want to see how far they can get away from the wall and everything still be all right. But the place we need to stay is close to the Lord. And I heard a preacher giving this comparison about the way Christians live their lives. It's like being on 285 during rush hour. And getting in the fast lane, talking on the cell phone, driving with your knee. There's a sales guy up in Tennessee that I hate to ride with. He goes about 70, 75 miles an hour, and he's constantly on that phone, and he's writing on his other, got one knee driving, writing on the other one. And I'm looking at him, and I'm, you know, doing this right here, reaching over to grab the steering wheel. But the truth is, that's the way a lot of people try to live their life. How close can I get to the edge and things be all right? But in order for them to remain safe, they had to stay inside the city, inside the gates. And you know, for us to be where we need to be, we need to stay inside the will of God. You know, and I think part of that is being part of a church. It's serving God. It's doing what God has you to do. But God ought to be something that goes with you every day. or to be a part of your life. And I believe that the church ought to be a place of refuge, a place where people can come, where they can get help, where they can get forgiveness, and where the congregation will look at them and not look at them as outcasts or outsiders, but say, yeah, I remember what God did for me. I remember what it was like when I was lost and I was in trouble. And God's great love and mercy lifted me up. That's where we ought to be in our lives. Where we have fellowship and love and forgiveness and mercy. Because I promise you, outside the doors, there is a slayer. And what he wants to do is he wants to destroy your testimony, destroy your life, keep you from being everything that God wants you to be. And I'm thankful that there is a place that I can go. And I'm thankful that I have not gotten what I deserve, but I have received the mercy and the grace of God. Amen. I'm glad to be here tonight. I hope something I said was something that would help you. We want to just get one verse of song. I don't know any song. Any song would do. But, you know, there are times that when God begins to speak to me, and it don't have to be just on Sunday. I don't know about you, but there's times I have to find an altar. I have to talk to the Lord, and here's the way I want my life and my relationship with him to be, is sensitive. I talked to you a little bit recently about sensitivity and how that sometimes it's very sensitive. When I was sitting in church, and I heard a preacher say something, and I went, I cannot tell you how God jumped on me. I cannot. I mean, it's just like the Holy Spirit just grabbed a hold of me and I had to pray. Have you ever had the Holy Spirit grab a hold of you and you have to pray? Driving down the road. Somebody, you know, I got a temper. Don't pull out in front of me and slam on your brakes. But I've had to pray. Because you can't act in the flesh. You need to act according to the will of God. We're going to sing one verse of song. If you'll just stand with me, if anybody would like to pray, this is your opportunity as we sing one verse. Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Anybody got a word of testimony or anything you'd like to say for the Lord tonight? I grew up doing that. It's hard for me to get out of it. Go ahead, brother.